I announced the title of my message this morning, and you remember Adam was sitting right up here, and he said, Amen. And I looked back at him, and I said, my title of my message is How to Be Close. And I said, you need that, hey? And he said, yeah, amen. And I looked over at Chantel. I said, Chantel, you need that? And she just nodded her head, and I said, I wasn't going to ask any more questions. I was a little worried that, there might have been something going on. And then I talked to Chantel at lunch, and she said, when you asked me that question, I wasn't even listening. I was doing the children's bulletin. And she said, I had no idea what I was agreeing to. I said, well, you better be careful because you never know. You never know what I'm going to ask you in the middle of church. And you sit there shaking your head. I might say, are you the dirtiest sinner that ever lived? Yes, yes. So you better pay attention. Tonight I'm going to speak on that subject, how to be close. Paul said there in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 1, he says, I have you in my heart. And he had a special place in his heart for the folks at Philippi. Of course, he'd gone to Philippi, and you remember that he went there at the call of God. He tried to go several different places there in Acts chapter 16, and the doors were just shut. He just couldn't go, and finally he had this vision. He had this dream of this man over in Macedonia that was saying, come over and help us, come over and help us. And they immediately left and went to Philippi went to the riverside and met with, I think it was Lydia and the other ladies there that were meeting beside the riverside. He started preaching. Remember that girl, the young girl that he cast the devil out of and was beaten and thrown in jail and whipped and thrown in jail. And then the earthquake that came at midnight and opened all the doors and broke their bonds that were on them. And the Philippian jailer that came in, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And that man did that. He and his family were saved. They were baptized that night, and a church was started, and a good church, a church that preached Jesus Christ. And Paul's in jail now, about 600 miles away from this city, and he's writing this letter to these people that he loved, and he says, I have you in my heart. I love you. And I'm so glad tonight, as I am every day, and I've talked to several people about this, some of you and some other people that are visiting our church. I'm so glad that we have a church full of people that love each other. Aren't you? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we have a church full of people that love each other. I think that's... I'm glad God's given us this nice building. I mean, I'm so glad that, that he's given us this place. He's given us the ability and the will to take care of it. But to me, I would rather have a church that loved each other, that met in a storefront, than a church that had a nice building and didn't like each other. I'm so glad that we got a church that loved each other. I mean, I give up the piano, I give up the organ, I give up the carpet. I go back to having a concrete floor with set up chairs and somebody playing their banjo for music if we had to. If that's what we had to trade to have a church that loves each other. I feel sorry for these churches that have the organ and the piano and the well educated pastor and preacher but they don't love each other. And there's no spirit when you go in there. And I'm so glad tonight that we have a church full of people that love each other. And tonight, I'm not preaching about any problems, so nobody get worried. I'm going to preach on the subject, how to get closer, how to love others more. Paul wrote to these folks at this church, and he says, I love you. I have you in my heart. And in those first seven verses, he mentioned six things that if we do, we can get close or closer to people that we're already close to. You know, there may be people in your life that say, I just can't get close to them. I just can't figure out how to break down the barriers that exist to between us. And I'd like to get close to him, but I just can't do it. And tonight, I'm going to give you these six little steps, six little things that Paul did for these people at Philippi that let him say, I have you in my heart. I love you. And if you do these six things, regardless of whether you've been able to get close to a person or not, you'll get close to them. And for those you're already close to, you'll get closer. These little six steps work between you and God. God does these six things for us. If you do these six things back to Him, you'll get closer to your God. It'll work for husbands and wives. If you do these six things for your husband, you'll get closer to him, and husbands, you'll get closer to your wives if you do these six little things. It works for her. Yeah, smile, Chantel. Are you listening? Okay, good. See, now you made me get all confused. All right. It'll work. It'll work for parents and children. It'll work. It'll make you closer to your parents. It'll make her close. Make you closer to your children. It'll work between you and anybody else that you want to get close to. It'll work between a pastor and his people. And these six things that Paul mentions in these first seven verses are simple things to do that every single one of us can do if we choose to do them, and we can get closer to each other. Here's what they are. Number one. Serve each other. Serve each other. Paul said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons that God loves us so much is that every day God serves us. Now you might think, well, God doesn't serve us, He's God. No, I want to insist tonight, I want you to listen. God serves us every day. Every day we get up, He gives us what we need to stay alive. If God didn't keep us in His mind, we would not have air to breathe. If God didn't keep us in His mind and serve us, we would be too cold or too hot. I know some of you think, well, you're too cold and too hot right now, but I'm talking about where the earth is placed. I'm talking about how it turns on its axis. I'm talking about how far it is from the sun. If it was any closer, we'd burn up. If it was any further, we'd be cold. And God serves us every day by holding His creation in just the place that it needs to be for Him, for us to live, and for us, for Him to take care of us. And so God loves us. I know He's God, and He loves us with an immeasurable love. But every day that He keeps us alive, every day that He meets our needs, every day that He gives us blessings that we talked about a minute ago, He loves us more. And if you want to get closer to your God, one of the ways to do it is start serving Him. Find out what He wants you to do and get busy doing it. You say, how can I serve God? Jesus gave us a pretty good formula over there in the book of Matthew. In that you have done this unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You want to know how to serve God? Go out and find an orphan and buy him a pair of shoes. Go out and find a widow and take her out to dinner. Go out and find somebody that needs something and meet that need in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will be drawn closer to your God. Now, it works for husbands and wives. You want to be closer to your husband, ladies? Then serve him. Find out what his favorite meal is and cook it for him at least once a week. Find out what his favorite candy bar is and make sure he has one. Find out what kind of Lois, don't laugh at me when I'm preaching like this. find out what his favorite dessert is and make sure he has it. Say, oh, no, I don't want it. Why? You want to be closer to him? Serve him. Serve him. Serve him. Men, you want to be closer to your wives? Do the same thing. You serve them. Find out what it is about you that irritates them. And don't do it anymore. Make a resolution. Make a vow. Honey, I know this irritates you. I'm making a vow right now. I'm not going to do it anymore. And do your best not to do it. I'll tell you what, the more you serve one another, the more you meet each other's needs, the closer you will be. By the way, it works for parents and children as well. Every child needs to realize tonight that their parents serve them. And I'm not talking about you're their boss and they're your servants. I'm talking about you need to realize that mom and dad provides for you every single day. I can't remember the number. I was reading a magazine the other day, and it talked about how much it costs to raise a child in today's world. I'm glad you're as old as you are, Adam, because I couldn't afford you if you were born this year. But the astronomical cost that it and I tell you what, children that take their parents for granted. Take for granted being able to sit down underneath a table every night and eat dinner. Take for granted the ability to put clothes on their back. Take for granted the ability to put shoes on their feet. Ought to go to an orphanage and look at children that don't have a mom and dad that aren't serving them and be grateful for the mom and dad that they have. And you know what, kids? You ought to serve your mom and dad. They ought not to have to ask you to do your chores twice. They ought not to have to ask you to help with the dishes. They ought not to ask you to take out the garbage. As you serve them, you get closer, and they get closer. And by the way, it works between a pastor and his people. You know when we get close? When I'm able to stand with you beside the casket and serve you in your time of need. As a pastor, when I get to go to the hospital and help you welcome a new baby into the world, that's how we get close. We don't get close when I just come up here and preach every Sunday. We get close when I get to serve you as a pastor. You want to know how to get close? Serve each other. Serve each other. Say, there's just somebody I can't get close to. Go serve them. Go serve them. Put yourself in subjection to them. Find out a need that they have and go meet that need. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Number two, remember them. Paul said in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I don't think it was haphazard in Paul's case. I don't think he was just, you know, going about his normal duties and all of a sudden somebody at Philippi came to his mind. I think he remembered people on purpose. I think he had a list of people that went to the church at Philippi. I think he had their names written down in his Bible or someplace else. And on schedule, on purpose, he took out that list and he started going down the names and said, yeah, I remember when that man and his wife got saved. I'm sure the Philippian jailer was on that list. I remember that night at that earthquake. Silas and I were singing at midnight, and I remember the earthquake. And I remember Mr. Philippian jailer coming in, what must I do to be saved? And I remember us telling him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember going talking to his wife. And I remember going talking to his kids. And I remember in the middle of the night when we went down to the river and baptized them all. And I remember going to his home and him putting a meal on the table for us early in the morning. I think Paul did it by schedule. I think he did it on purpose. And if we don't on purpose remember one another, we will by accident forget each other. I think there ought to be a time. Look, I'll just tell you this. God thinks about us every moment of every day. Oh man, what a blessed thought. What a blessed thought. God, who holds the universe together, thinks about you and I as individuals, every moment of every day. Now, if we're going to get close to God like he's close to us, there ought to be a time in our schedule every day where on purpose we just say, I'm going to think about God for a little bit. I'm going to think about what he did for me on Calvary. I'm going to think about Jesus going to the cross in my place. I'm going to think about the great South. I'm going to think about heaven. Chantel's already thinking about themes for next year. And she mentioned to me this morning, more about heaven in 07. And I said, well, maybe that might be a good one. We'll have to think about that. But every day, I'm going to think, I'm going to have time in my schedule where I think about God and how he paid my way to heaven. Now, you think about him, you remember him, you're going to get closer to him. Husbands and wives, it ought to be the same thing. There ought to be a time, men, during the day, and it should be once a day. Just like you take your vitamin once a day, there ought to be a time in your schedule. One, you say, I'm with my wife all the time. I think about her all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you, on purpose, put a little bit of time in your schedule where you just stop and think, and I'm gonna think about the good wife that God gave me. I'm going to think about those early years when we first got married, where we were struggling to make ends meet. And she didn't complain. She was right there beside me. I know this is your testimony because I've talked to a bunch of you and you shared it with me. I'm going to think about those early years when we were struggling to make ends meet. And she stood right there beside me. And we worked together. And we made the ends meet. We didn't have everything we wanted, but we had everything we needed. We might not have got to go a lot of places. Maybe the best date we had was going to the cemetery and reading the gravestones at, you know, at twilight when it got dark so she could cuddle up beside you because she was a little scared. But just some time in your day where on purpose you stop and you remember your wife. And then ladies, same thing for you. A time in your day where you just put everything else out of your mind and say, I'm going to just think about my husband for a little bit. Goes for the widows too. You ought to have a time in your day, every day, where you stop and you think about your husband and you remember him. You remember how he worked so hard to provide for the family. Remember how tired he got when he came home. You remember how he loved you, or how he loves you today. If you don't do it on purpose, you won't do it. And if you want to be closer, I guarantee you, if you'll do these things, you'll be closer. Point number three, tell others about him. Brag on him a little bit. That's what Paul did to the church at Philippi. He said, as I remember you, I tell other people about you. I tell other people about your faith. You know, I think God brags about us. You say, Brother Darrell, where do you get that from the Bible? I get it from Job chapter 1. Sons of men came to God one day, and God asked Lucifer, where you been? Been walking on the earth. God says, have you considered my servant Job, an upright man, one that feareth God and hateth evil. God was bragging on Job. I think God brags on us. I think God turns to Jesus, who sits at his right hand sometimes, and says, hey, do you see what brother so-and-so just did? Isn't that good? Look at how much he or she has grown. Look at how they're maturing as a Christian. Just look at them. And you know what? You want to be closer to God? Brag on him. Brag on him. Let me tell you what God did for me this past week. Let me tell you about the need that he met. Let me tell you about the blessing. He blessed me so much. I didn't deserve it, but he just blessed me, and I just can't contain myself. I got to brag on him a little bit. And if you brag on God, you'll get closer to him. Oh, by the way, men, if you brag on your wives, you'll be closer to them. Boy, you just don't know how good my wife treated me this week. She made me my favorite dessert. She didn't invite the preacher over to eat any of it. I got to eat it all by myself. That's Brother Harold talking. I got to eat it all by myself. And just brag on her. Brag on her. Tell other people how good a wife you have. Ladies, you do the same thing for your husband. Just brag on him. Just tell other, as you remember him, as you take that time to remember him, brag on your husband. Say, who should I brag to? Brag to your parents, his in-laws. Brag to your kids. I think it'd be wonderful if a mom set her kids down and said, let me brag to you about your dad. Let me tell you about your dad. I think it'd be wonderful if mother-in-laws would brag about their sons-in-laws to their grandkids, to their friends. You want to be closer? Then you set some time aside to remember others, and then you tell other people about them. You brag on them a little bit. Number four, pray for them. In verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Jesus prays for us. He did on earth, as we talked about in the adult Sunday school lesson this morning. I don't think he's changed just because he's in heaven. The right hand of God. The right ear of God. I think he keeps his eye on us. And I think he prays to the Father for us often. Often. He's our advocate. I know he says, yeah, I know that he messed up, but Dad, I paid for that one on the cross too. Just be a little more patient with them. They'll grow. They'll get better. When you pray for somebody, be it your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, you get close to them. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of prayer that says, well, they got this thing wrong with them, and I pray, God, that you'd fix it. I'm not talking about that kind of praying. I'm talking about the kind of praying where you hold them up and say, God, they're going through an awful time right now. They need your help. They need your strength. They need your wisdom. Help them, dear God. Help them. We pray for them. Number 5, we believe in him. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God believes in you. I don't know of one child of God that he's ever given up on. He started this work in us, and he'll finish it. We ought to believe in God. We ought to believe that God is capable and able to keep every promise that he's made in this book. We ought to believe in God that he will do exactly what he says in the Bible. That's how we get closer to him. You want to know how to get closer to each other? Believe in each other. Believe in each other. My husband may not be exactly what he needs to be in every area of his life, but I believe God's not done working on him yet. My wife may not be everything she needs to be in every area of her life, but I don't believe God's done with her yet. My Sunday school class may not be everything they need to be, but I don't believe God's done with them yet. My Sunday school teacher may not be everything he or she needs to be, but God's not through working with them yet. That person that sits beside you in the pew, or behind you in the pew, or in front of you in the pew, they may not have reached maturity yet. They may not be everything that they need to be yet in every area of their life, but I'm not going to give up on them. Because God's not done with them yet. He's still working on them. And I believe he that started this work will finish it. There's too many Christians that have given up on their husband. There's too many Christians that have given up on their wives. There's too many Christians that have given up on their children. There's too many Christians that have given up on their parents. There's too many Christians that have given up on their friends. And I'm glad that we have a God that never gives up on us. And if he's our example, and he should be, then we should never give up on each other. He that hath begun this good work in you will finish it. Finish it. And then number six. You want to know how to be closer to somebody? Work with them. Work with them. Paul said this in verse 7. Ye are all partakers of this work. You share this work with me. We're all in it together. You want to know how to get close to somebody? Find a job and do it with them. Find a job and do it. You want to know how you want to know how I've gotten close to the people in this church? Again, it's not when I preach up here on Sunday. That doesn't get us close to each other. No, it's when we crawl up in the attic and hack a hole in the roof and be up there in 120 degrees pulling those hoses through the roof. That's where this man and I got close. I mean, I could go up and down the line. I can't tell you the times that Brother Larry and I have, and Brother Clint and I, and Brother Leonard and I, and Brother Dick and I, and Bill and I, and others have spent at this place doing something together, working together. That's how you get close. You want to know how to stay close to your wife? Help her do the dishes. And all the ladies should say, amen. Help her do the dishes. Do them together. Not do them for her. Do them together. I think dishwashers are a creation of the devil. Now, nobody's saying amen to that. I think it was good when husbands and wives, I tell you some of the, and it goes for parents and kids, some of the best times I had with my mom was standing at the sink, her washing and me drying. We talked about things at the sink that we didn't talk about anywhere else. And now she's got this dishwasher, and all we do is put the things in the dishwasher, and we never talk about the things that we used to talk about. And sometimes I want to just say, let's not use the dishwasher. Let's just wash the dishes. I got to quit. But you want to be close to somebody? Find something to do with them. Work with them, and you'll be close. Now, if you want to be close to God, first thing you need to do is get saved. None of these other things will work unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. None of them. Because that sin will keep you separated from your God. And there's only one way to take care of that sin. And that's to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. We're all sinners. There's a penalty we owe for our sin. Jesus Christ paid that penalty when he went to the cross. And if we'll receive him, he'll take care of our sin and make us one of God's children. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you to walk down the aisle. You tell me that you're coming and say, preacher, I need to get saved tonight. I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you.